All right. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. You had a lot of that in your Sunday school lesson this morning. Lean not unto thine own. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll what? Direct your paths or keep you on the straight path. So with that in mind, we're going to talk a little bit about how God's Word inspires us. Now, I know it's Father's Day, and my sermons aren't usually relative to, as y'all know, to holidays. That's not how the Lord directed me to preach. But every sermon, every Sunday school lesson, every Bible study, everything that we do and we say should do what? Should give honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. So in the same manner, we can relate that to our earthly relationships as we live our life here upon this earth. So we're going to talk a little bit about God's divine word. And what is God's divine word? It's an inspiring truth that he has given unto us. And there's several reasons that he gives us this truth. But one of the things is, the first things that it does, it transforms us through salvation, through his saving grace. It transforms us. It lifts us up through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It guides us throughout our time here upon this earth. It is our instruction. So not only is that, but it's the one thing that will anchor you in this life. It is our spiritual anchor, and it provides understanding, and it provides strength as we go through the challenges and the difficulties that we go through here in our life. So it is this word. Now, I want you to listen to this, because sometimes we think we pray. We don't really have to look at the Word of God. We're talking to God. God's Word is his way of communicating to us. So how many times is our life with God, how many times is our communication one-sided? We pray all the time, Lord, help me with this. Lord, I need this. Lord, and we're looking for answers, but we never go to the Word of God. This is how God mainly communicates with us, is through his Word. So his Word, he uses his Word. He designed this Word that he's given to us, this Word which is what? Christ himself, the Son himself. He designed this to confirm his purpose and his plan to us. What he has in store. Not just an overall purpose and plan, but his purpose and plan for each individual as we live our life here upon this earth. So this word is designed to penetrate. That's what he wants it to do. He wants it to penetrate our soul so that it might bring peace, it might bring comfort, it might bring inner healing, all these things that God has in store for us. And it's given unto us. And today, you know, we've been in the Old Testament, we've been studying, and it's good to go back and because we need that in our life. But we need to take that word, whatever it is that God has inspired you to study upon in your life, we need to take that word and we need to apply it to our life in this day and this time. That's what his word is all about. Showing unto us how to live our life here upon this earth. This is how God motivates us. And Lord knows we all need motivation. Amen. So this is how God motivates us. So he motivates us through his word. He influences through his word. He instructs us through his word. All of these things so that we might understand what our salvation is all about. And we might understand the hope of our eternal life. That's one of the things that keeps us going. So this was only offered unto us through Christ, his Son. If you go over into the book of John, it says what? In the beginning was what? The Word. The Word was what?
With God. The Word was God.
That's right. And the Word was God, meaning Christ. And it came and dwelt among us. So this Word is what fully and completely equips us for serving him while we live here upon this earth. In 2 Timothy, let me go read you a scripture in 2 Timothy real quick. in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 16, here's what he says. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You know, most of the scripture that we have, it said the prophets were inspired by God to write these things down. But it says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And here's what he said. It is profitable for doctrine. Now, I'm not talking about these books that you get handed out in church. It says this is our doctrine, this is our rules, this is our regulations. If you got one of them, throw it in the garbage. It's not going to get you anywhere. But the doctrine he's talking about is his doctrine. And his doctrine is all about his saving grace. It's all about the salvation, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So he said it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. That means our sanctification process that we're going through as believers. We're growing every day in our life. Our faith is growing. We're spiritually maturing in our life. This is what that's all about. He said it's also for correction. That's part of this spiritual growth process that we're going through. God shows us that through his word, the things that we need to work on in our life so that we might grow spiritually for him. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. We need spiritual understanding in our life. You can have all the wisdom and knowledge you want, but if you do not get the spiritual understanding that comes from God communicating to us through the word, the wisdom and knowledge won't do us any good. So he said that the man of God, so who is the man of God? Every believer, that's right. Everybody that claims to be a believer, and I'm not leaving you women out. When he talks about men, he means men and women both. So that thing that's going on with the Southern Baptists, don't pay no attention to that, because women do have a place in the church. Does anybody in here want to preach? Okay. Everybody's shaking their head now. So the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All good works. That's the key to this. All good works can only come from God. So the word of God, it's practical. But it's not just practical to us. It's also authoritative. How many of you get that? The word of God is authoritative. It's promises and it's commandments. So that means it's necessary. If you say that, well, it's not really necessary in my life. Yes, it is necessary. As a believer, the word of God is necessary. As a non-believer, the word of God is necessary. You would not have been saved had you not been obedient to the word of God. So the word of God is necessary. Now, where does it originate from? It's the word of God. It originates from God. Amen. So if it originates from God, then it carries what? The power and the authority of God. We don't always use that power and authority, do we? You know, a lot of times when we rebuke people, worldly things come out of our mouth and our heart. Just think if when you wanted to say something to somebody and you used the power and the authority of the Word of God, and instead of getting mad and spouting something out that you shouldn't, you quoted them a verse of Scripture, what do you think that would do to the conversation? That's right. The Word of God carries power and it carries an authority. That means if that's the case, we can trust it. Amen? We can trust the Word of God. And we can use it to guide us in our faith because it has and will continue to establish the foundational truths that we need within us. So it restores us unto righteousness. And why do I say restores us unto righteousness? Because every day we do something wrong and we need to be restored back into the righteousness of God. Paul said what? I have to die daily. He didn't mean he fell down dead every day. It meant he sinned every day. And he went to the Lord and he said, if you go over into 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, he said, if you will confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? Cleanse us from the unrighteousness. Bring us back into his righteousness. So that means that our ultimate goal as a believer is not just the wisdom and the knowledge, but somebody said this in Sunday school class, it means being active in the Word. We have to faith without works is what? It's dead faith. So we have to actively know and believe and trust and show people what the Word of God truly is all about. So in Romans chapter 15, verse 4,
we need to lift it up every day
in our life, every day. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. So let's talk just a few minutes this morning about God's inspiring Word. So he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, so just because the Bible wasn't written, you know, a lot of churches have cut out the Old Testament because they said, oh, that's way before our time. We don't really need that. You need that. Just because God came and fulfilled the law doesn't mean we do away with the law. He fulfilled it, meaning we continue to follow after it. So it was written for our what?
Learning.
And we through
patience.
Why do we not study the Word all the time? We lack patience. That's right, we lack patience. And we through patience and comfort. See, how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, I'll admit to this myself, but how many of you at times when you're reading, you're sitting down, you're reading, you're trying to study, there's all kinds of things going on around you, you're not finding no comfort in the Scripture. You're actually aggravated, aren't you?
Yeah.
Huh? Sure. That happens. And if we say it doesn't happen, then we're lying to ourselves. But he says, this is what he wants us to find when we're reading the Scripture. And I don't care if you go back into the Old Testament and you read chapter after chapter about so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so. How many of you skip over those chapters? Shame on you. Why? What should you, when you, I don't know why I'm getting off on that. But why should you, if you start picking out those names and those bloodlines, there's a reason it's in there. Because he wants you to search forward and backward to find out what that is all about. So through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have what?
Hope.
So everything that is written is designed according to the purpose of God. There's not one thing in here that God didn't have a purpose. He put it in here. There's many other things that were written. We don't have it because God knew that would overwhelm us. We have what he had a purpose for in our life. And his greatest desire, here's God's greatest desire, and you can find this in Scripture. God's greatest desire is that all men and women might be saved, but don't stop there. If you look that verse up, he says, might be saved and then come to the knowledge of that. He wants us not just to be saved, but he wants us to understand why we are saved. Why? And don't just tell me, well, I'm saved because so I can go to heaven one of these days. Yeah, that is a great benefit of your salvation. And if you stop right there, you're missing out on a lot of the rewards and benefits of your salvation. You must take that much further. So what do we see as believers? And think about this in your mind. What do we see as the main objective for us to study in God's Word? Think about that for a minute. Now, we might say, well, we want knowledge. We want the wisdom. We want the knowledge. Maybe spiritual comfort. We find that as we study. There's lots of truths and promises and commandments in there that God has given unto us to prepare us to live righteously. And we could just go on and on and on about why. But we just read that in this verse. The main reason is that he gives us our spiritual, that we might have hope. That's our main objective. So why do we need hope? If you live one day in this world without hope, where are you at? Oh, you're depressed. You won't get off the couch. You'll sit in front of the TV. So we need that spiritual hope that God gives to us. Now, spiritual hope gives us what? It gives us confidence, not just any old confidence, but it gives us a confidence that is unshakable, that Satan cannot come in, and it's an unshakable confidence so that we might lay hold of the things that God has set before us. So how many of us believe, don't raise your hand on this one either, how many of us believe that every day we lay hold of or we grab a hold of everything that God has set before us that He wants us to have in our life? Yeah, none of us could raise our hands, could we? Because God has so much in store for us in our life. And he wants us to grasp a hold of that every day so that we might move forward in our life in Him. This gives us both a sure and a steadfast life in Him. And when we live that way for the Lord, the end result will always lead to salvation. And that's what it's all about. If we're serving the Lord for any other reason, we're serving Him for the wrong reasons. It must lead to His saving grace. In the book of Romans, once again, chapter 8, just back up a little bit into chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Here's what he says. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. So he's talking about worldliness, okay? You can't be saved through the world. For what a man seeth, then why would he yet hope for it? Why would he want it? If I can see it, if I can touch it, if I can feel it, well, why would I want it? It's already there. So he said, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with what? Patience. Now, we're talking about, so as one of the things we have to do as a believer, and it takes a long time to do this because we're all still working on it, no matter how long we've been a believer, is to see the difference between our worldly emotions and our spiritual emotions. So when we get angry, was it worldly anger or spiritual anger? When we don't have no patience, was it because of our worldly emotion or our spiritual? See, we have to learn to see the difference between that, because it's such a in our mind, because we still have that sin nature, it's such a fine line that Satan's going to use it to get you to cross over back and forth. So we have to learn to do that in our life. So this is what, when he's talking about this, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So as believers, first of all, we were saved through our faith in Christ. We were freed from the bondage of sin. So everybody knows that when Christ was crucified on the cross, that paid our sin debt. Okay? He took our debt of sin, gave us His righteousness for those who will accept. Now, the resurrection, what did it do for us? It assured us that once we accepted that righteousness of Christ, that sin no longer has to bind us down. That's what the resurrection done for us in our life. So we're free from that bondage of sin. But we are always waiting. This is what the waiting with patience for is all about. We are always waiting for the ultimate fulfillment. Now, when will you get that ultimate fulfillment? One of these days when God sees fit to take you out of this world, then you'll get that ultimate fulfillment. But for now, we're waiting for it. But waiting is not being idle, okay? Most Christians think, I hate that word Christian. Most believers think that waiting means being idle. So we have believers all over the world today. This church should be full. It's not full. Church across the hill should be full. It's not full. Church down the road should be full. It's not full. Why? Because there's enough believers in these communities to fill the churches, but we're waiting. And if I'm waiting, why do I have to wait in church? Why do I have to wait here? Why? See, we're waiting, but we're waiting idly. That's not what waiting is all about. Waiting means being active. Being active in the service, the purpose that God has given us to do. And we can only do that if we have hope. All right? That's why hope is so important. Because hope is what gives us or motivates us or keeps us going through the service that God has in store for us in our life. So I'm going to give you three things, and I want you to mark these down. You're going to find them all in the same verse. If you go back into the book of Isaiah, and we'll go through these quickly. Three things, Isaiah 55:11. Three things that confirm that God's word is, first of all, it is the divine word, and it is his purpose and his plan for our life. So go back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 11. I'm going to give you these three things, and we're just going to touch on them briefly just for a minute. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So he says, here's what it is. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Okay, this is Isaiah talking to the children of Israel, but he's talking on behalf of God. It's not Isaiah's words, it's God's words. So he said, and here's what it says. Number one, it shall not return unto me void. Number two, it shall accomplish that which I please, meaning that which God pleases. And number three, it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it, where God sent it. So let's go to Joshua real quick. Let's go to the book of Joshua. You were there this morning. Joshua chapter 21:45. And let's look at an example about it shall not return unto me void. Joshua 21:45. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. And what did he say? It all came to pass. When you read this word, this divine word, from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in Revelation, I can tell you, if it hasn't yet come to pass, it will come to pass. It's all going to come to pass. So don't skip over promises and commandments in God's word, because it is going to happen. So this means that all of these promises and all these commandments, they possess divine power. So it's kind of like the rain we've been having. How many of you like the rain we've been having? Well, right now we're grumbling about it. Jody said earlier, in a few weeks we'll be praying for it, right? So it's like the rain we've been having. But in this case, it's spiritual rain that we're talking about. So I think sometimes as believers, once in a while, when God is raining spiritually down upon us, we get our umbrella out because we don't want what? Well, that's right. We don't want to get wet. Why? Because the rain, even though everything is a blessing from God, the rain doesn't always seem like a blessing, does it? Because sometimes when it comes down, it's through trials and tribulations. It's through tests of our faith. All opportunities from God, but we don't want them. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When it's raining hard and it runs off your umbrella and it hits the ground, where does it go? It splashes back up on you. You're going to get it one way or the other. Okay? So this spiritual rain, what does it do for us? It sustains. Rain sustains life. Rain brings growth. Rain brings transformation. This happens in our life. So God's spiritual rain has a specific mission. Amen? You believe that? So it has an intended outcome. If it has a specific mission, then there's an outcome. There's always going to be an outcome. So it has an intended outcome, and it will always succeed. If God rains on something, you better believe whatever he had in mind, it's going to happen or it's going to take place. So we're encouraged through this divine word. We're encouraged to see that refreshment from this spiritual rain. No matter what form it comes in, we're encouraged to look for it, to see it. We're encouraged to absorb it into our... Put the umbrella away and let it rain on your head. Okay? Absorb some of that. You know, you old grumpy people, you need rain done once in a while, don't we? So let some of that absorb so that we might see what's relevant to what God says is relevant to our life. So is there any doubt in our life that what God tells us in His Word that He's not going to accomplish? No, there should not be no doubt in our life, but yet there is doubt in our life. Every day, somewhere along the way, we doubt one of the promises or commandments of God's Word. Now, you might say, well, I don't do that. Well, I'm going to tell you, take a notebook and write down things you go through during the day. Go back at the end of the day, and I'll bet you've written something down that doubted one of the promises and commandments of God's Word. So we have to think about that in our life. See, we don't always see the things in our life that God wants us to see because a lot of times they surprise us. And when things surprise us, we don't always see what it is God wants us to see. In Isaiah 46:10. And this is an example of it shall accomplish that I please. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times and the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all that is my pleasure. God leaves nothing to chance. Okay? Every day we leave things to chance. God leaves nothing to chance. Everything is exactly directed by His divine glory, given unto us through His divine Word. So that means God plans every part of our life. Doesn't matter. The purpose might have obstacles in it. The purpose might be blessings or rewards. God plans it all. And it doesn't matter if it's seen or if it's unseen. God has planned it in our life. And He encourages us to use whatever it is that's going on in our life. So here's as believers, here's where we go wrong a lot of times in our life. Doesn't matter what it is that's going on in our life, God wants us to see His purpose in it. So let's just take yesterday for an example. Everything that happened, could you say that you saw God's purpose in everything that took place in your life? And I would say that I had the spiritual, worldly emotion of aggravation at one or two times yesterday and didn't see God's purpose in what was going on until He... You know, if you don't see God's purpose... So here's how this works. One thing happens to you in your life and you get aggravated. We don't see God's purpose in it, so God does something else. Eventually, you're going to stop and say, these things will quit happening if I start seeing God's purpose. But if we don't, they're going to continue to what? Happen. So this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to see His purpose in everything that He's doing. So this isn't a message of distress or anxiety. This is a message of hope. Because He's trying to remind us that God, He has never lost control of any situation or circumstance in our life, even though we do. Many situations and circumstances in our life, we lose control. God did not. He's just waiting for us to come back to Him so that He can show us that everything comes to pass according to His will. Book of Numbers. Let's do the last one. The book of Numbers. It's going to prosper. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. And here's what He says. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. He has said, and shall He not do it? That's a question that He's asking. Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? So, God's nature, unlike ours, is unchanging. His faith is unwavering. So that means there is no deception with God. So if it's something that is deceptive that's going on in your life, it's not coming from God. Who's it coming from? That's right. Satan. All right? So there's no deception with God. He is completely, unlike us, he is completely incapable of being untruthful. And I'll tell you an old saying, and it came from a Richards. Is there any Richardses in here? No, don't raise your hand. He always said, that person would tell a lie even if the truth would fit it better. See, God is not unfaithful. He always tells the truth. So his plans for us, he never alters them. We do. We're the ones that alter. So because we do, then we have to face the consequences of the situations and circumstances that are going on in our life. So that means that God, there's three things that the Bible talks, three characters that the Bible talks about that God has. And one is he's what? He's omniscient. What is that? He's all powerful. Okay? He's omnipotent. No, omniscient is he knows every. Omnipotent is he's all powerful. See, I got them backwards. And he's omnipresent, which means what?
Everywhere.
That's right. So you guys got it. So that means that everything that he has given us through his word is the most, listen to this now, it is the most reliable foundational truth that has ever existed and will ever continue to exist. You'll find that right here in the Word of God. So in James 1:22, I want to leave you with this morning. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. And here's what he says. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, because if all you do is hear, he said, you're going to deceive yourself. Be ye doers of the word. So what does that tell us? That tells us that just because we read the word, just because we're listening to the word from somebody else, that's not enough. It's just not enough. If you want to be inspired by the word of God, it requires actively being obedient to the promises and the commandments of God's word. So here's what I want you to do every day. You should be doing this every day anyhow. If you don't do anything else, ask God to show you something through his word, whether it's a promise or a commandment. Now let him show you, because if you find it yourself, it's always going to be a promise. So whether it's a promise or a commandment, and ask him to help you be obedient to that throughout that day and see what happens in your life. But our thoughts and our actions, they're a reflection of not only the wisdom and the knowledge, but also of the understanding of God's word. So when people out there in the world look at you, you're a witness to whoever you come in contact with without a word ever coming out of your mouth. And if you have to explain that witness, we're doing it wrong. We're not reflecting the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of God's word. So all of this stuff changes our life. And if change is what we need, then change is what God wants to happen in our life. And what he wants, he's called us to live by these truths of his word daily. Isn't that what he said? Daily. Yeah. And that's what he calls us to do in our life. If we do that, that will keep us going forward on the pathway of spiritual maturity. Now, it might be a slow, journey. As if you're like me and hard-headed, you should have learned more in school than you did. But that'll keep us on that pathway of spiritual maturity. And when we're on that pathway of spiritual maturity, God will make sure that we have what? Joy unspeakable. What's the song? And full of glory, no matter what it is we're going through in our life. We should always have the joy of our salvation. And we should always be bearing genuine fruit. And if we're doing this, all of this happens because we've been studying, we've been meditating on, we've been listening for communication from God, and it all comes through His inspiring word. And that's where we need to be in our life in Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you once again, Lord, for an opportunity, Heavenly Father, to fellowship with you. Lord, to fellowship with one another. Lord, to lift up your name, Heavenly Father. Lord, to sing and give praise to you, Heavenly Father. And we just pray this day as we continue on with our lives here upon this earth that, Lord, you'll help us, Heavenly Father, to be that example of your divine word so that others might see your salvation through us, so that we might point others in that direction, Heavenly Father, so that before it is everlasting too late, Heavenly Father, we'll see people come to you, come to know your saving grace. So we pray this day, Lord, that you would help us to stay in the divine truths of your word, that you would help us to pray and study and to communicate with you through your word, Heavenly Father, and then pass that on, Lord, to those that you allow us to come in contact with each and every day of our life, Heavenly Father. Once again, Lord, forgive us, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
226. If you're here this morning and you have a need or a burden, if you're unsaved, we would certainly love to pray with you and show you the way of your salvation. 226.
Full of glory is joy.
Okay, you can be seated for a moment. We are going to have communion this morning, so if I could get a couple volunteers. So while they're passing that out, the scripture we're going to use this morning is in 1 Corinthians. But I want to read you a few verses. You'll find it in chapter 11. But starting with verse 27, here's what it says. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So pay attention to this part. But let a man examine himself. So that's what I want you to do this morning, is kind of take a look and ask God to show you. Is there? We know that there's things there, but ask him to help you with those things in your life that aren't pleasing unto him. And he says, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged. So probably one of the worst things that we do as believers is we look at other people and we do what? We judge them. So here we're told to examine our own life and see what it is that God has in store for us in our own life. Did you get it? So let's all stand, please. And again, in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, here's what Paul said. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Somebody lead us in prayer this morning, please.
Heavenly Father, we just give you praise and honor, glory, Lord, for allowing us to be here in this house today. Let us always keep close to our hearts, Lord, the Last Supper and the body that you gave for us, Lord, and the blood that you shed for us. We just pray, Lord, that our hands are found doing your work, Lord, and our lips are found speaking your truth. Dear God, we just pray for your blessings upon us, Lord.
Give you thanks
and glory in
Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. So somewhere, and if you don't have one, do we have extra copies?
There should be copies in here.
Thank you.
speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I
Debbie, you want to lead us in?
Okay.
Yes.